I'm going to invite Iris, who's going to come and read for us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as our reading this morning.
Paul, Silas, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Living and true God, we thank you for your word. And as we think about this passage now, we ask that you would make us receptive to what you want to say to each and every one of us this morning. Holy Spirit, would you guide the words that I say and open our ears and our hearts to hear from you, that we might see more of Jesus, that our lives might reflect him more and more, for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, this is a letter that Iris just read beautifully for us, the beginning of a letter. And I wonder, what was the last letter that you received? Most of the letters I receive now are either bills or adverts. But last Sunday, I received a handwritten, well, I'll call it a letter. It's here. I don't know if you can see it. It doesn't say much in words. It says, "Dear Pete," and then there's a pipe cleaner, and there are some butterflies. And there's a few little gold leaf and other objects, and a smiley face in the middle. And if anybody has the gift of interpretation and would like, this was down here last week. I think it was Roxy and some of her friends were making this. But I'm not entirely sure quite what it means, but I get the point. I get the point that it's supposed to be an encouragement to me, and it's nice. It's not a vicious letter. I think it's aimed to encourage me, and the smiley face in the middle. I think this is supposed to be me. I think there's some hair on the top. Anyway, but that's the last sort of handwritten proper letter that I received. But this letter that Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica is meant to be an encouragement to them. You see, Paul had been to this church. He knew them. If we read, we won't read it today because of time, but if you go later today or this week, read Acts 17 and read about how Paul arrived in Thessalonica and what happened there. He preached in the synagogue. Many Jewish people and non-Jewish people become Christians, and then there's a crowd that's whipped up against them. A mob is formed, and they're thrown out of the city. And there's a lot of opposition in the city of Thessalonica, and Paul is writing back to this church to encourage them. And what he says in chapter 5, verse 5, easy to remember, 5, verse 5, he says, "You are children of the light." And I think that summarizes for me the message of this letter. You are children of the light. And so live in the light. Live in the light. That's what Paul wants to urge the church there to do. Now, it's not the same setting that we face today. We're a very different church. We're a very different city to Thessalonica in the first century AD. But there are things that Paul puts to the Thessalonian church that I think are really relevant for us today as we think about living in the light of the kingdom over these next few days. And so we're going to think about chapter 1 today. In chapter 1, Paul sort of lays out his summary of everything else in the letter. And we're going to come back to some of these things later. But there are sort of three things that I think really stand out in chapter 1. That how can we live in the light of the kingdom? The first one is there in verse 2. It is that this begins with God. Begins with God. Verse 2, Paul says this: "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers." And then verse 4, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." And as Paul thinks of this church, as he looks back and he remembers them, where does he go first? What does he do first before anything else? He thanks God because God loves you and has chosen you. It begins with God. Paul begins with God. He says you're living in the light. Your whole Christian journey begins with God. Living in the light is not something that we achieve by our own effort. It's not our idea to do it in the first place. No, it begins with God. Verse 5, we heard just now, "The gospel came to you," says Paul, "not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction." It was, if any of us here this morning are followers of Jesus, and I believe that many of us are, then that is a miracle. That we are followers of Jesus is a miracle by the Holy Spirit that he has called us to be his children. And that is a work of God, that living in the light, all that we do together as a church, as individuals, as families, it begins with God, all of it. And that is the only way that verse 6 of this reading makes sense. You see, this is what Paul says in verse 6. "You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy of the Holy Spirit." With the joy. Now that makes no sense. Rationally, it makes no sense at all. Why would somebody receive the message, become a Christian in the face of severe suffering and do it with joy? There is no way that is even possible unless it is God at work. These Thessalonian Christians, by becoming Christian, they would have risked losing their work. They would have risked being thrown out of their synagogue, would be thrown out of their family networks. They would even face perhaps physical abuse and violence and even death. And yet, they embraced that. They welcomed that. Even in the face of this kind of opposition, these people had welcomed the gospel with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of us here this morning, for most of us, that is not the situation we face. For most of us, we don't face anything like that kind of opposition or suffering in our daily lives. And the danger of that is that we can very easily obscure or forget God. Because if our faith makes sense, if it's rational to say, well, believing in God, that's a reasonable thing to do, then we can easily forget it's a work of God. It begins with God. We don't need God. But the truth is that living in the light begins with God. Only God can do this. And so it's a very simple statement that's written up there. Living in the light begins with God. Perhaps you're thinking, that's too simple, too easy. You're just telling us things we already know. Well, there may be some here who don't have a relationship with Jesus, who don't know God. And this statement is an invitation. An invitation to you. It's wonderful news that God has already stepped towards you, towards us. He has begun what he longs to do with you. What he longs to see you doing is to embrace life and life in all its fullness. And we talked the other week about baptism And in baptism, we signify what's happened as we've come to God and begun a new life with him. But even those of us who do know God, who do consider ourselves Christians, this is a challenge, this statement. Living in the light begins with God. Because let me ask you this. How is your daily life reflecting that truth? That living in the light begins with God. What am I doing day by day to acknowledge and mark the truth that everything I am as a Christian begins with God? Or is it, as often is the case, that we are living our lives without much reference to God, to the God who called us and saved us? Have we strayed away from the beginning of our faith? Now, over the last couple of weeks, could you put the maze picture up, Sahil? Our family has spent a bit of time inside mazes. Now, I don't know if you've been in many mazes. We have discovered the secret of the maze. Do you know the secret of the maze? There is a secret, Barbara's about to tell me, and I want to just give you a warning first. If you want to continue enjoying mazes, then don't listen to this next bit, because it will ruin mazes for you forever. But here's a secret we've discovered. If you go into the maze, Barbara's absolutely right, and put your hand, actually you can do either side, right or left, put your hand on the hedge and keep it there and just follow that hedge, then it will take you a while, but you will eventually get to the middle and you will not get lost. There is no way to get lost if you hold either the right or the left. Now, you cannot change halfway through. And if you forget, if you kneel down, bend your shoelaces, take a phone call, have a chat with, and forget where you were holding or which wall or which side, then you will be utterly lost because you've been paying no attention up to that point where you've been turning. And then you're stuck in the middle there. You may be there for some time. But here's the thing. Our Christian lives are sometimes a little bit like that, that we start off with God. We're connected to God at the beginning. And then the further we go in, other things distract and come in and we forget, we lose contact, we lose touch. We take our hand sort of off the hedge and we're lost. And we find ourselves not really knowing where we are in our faith and in our life journey. And here's the good news today. We're going to, in a few moments, be taking part in communion. And communion is an opportunity to, as it were, come back to the beginning of the maze and to start again with God and put our hands into God's hand and say, I want to start again. I've let go and I've gone astray and I've got lost. But today, I want to start again. I want to acknowledge the truth that living in the light begins with God. And that's the invitation we have this morning as we come to communion. So living in the light begins with God. But secondly, it leads to action. I love that verse 3. Wonderful, wonderful verse. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. You might recognize that from 1 Corinthians 13 and a couple other places too in the Bible. But what's wonderful about here in 1 Thessalonians is that it makes them grounded. We sometimes think of faith and hope and love as sort of abstract ideas. I admire his faith, we might say. Or, you know, we just have to hope. Or I love it when that happens. I love it when samosas arrive. You know, these sometimes are sort of very abstract ideas. Woolly, imprecise, hard to pin down. But right here in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we see faith producing work. Love prompting labor, hope inspiring endurance. Genuine living in the light, authentic Christianity leads to action. It can't not. Faith is never alone. We believe in faith alone, but it's never on its own. It always leads to work. Work like providing for the poor, like feeding the hungry, like offering aid to those in need. We don't win favor with God through our work, but our faith, if it's genuine, will produce action. And our love produces labor. I don't want to keep saying labor because I know some people have been through labor just recently. But it's about action, love in action. Love it, let's say that instead. Love in action. It's about pouring out the love that we have inside of us to other people. Those people here at church, our brothers and sisters here within this church, those in churches around us, and those outside of our churches. And we're going to see all of that in 1 Thessalonians as we read through the next couple of chapters. And hope that inspires endurance. How we need endurance. Endurance is the ability to remain steadfast, to persevere, even in the face of suffering and temptation. If we don't have hope, then we don't produce endurance. We produce complaining and moaning and bitterness when things are hard. But when we have hope in Jesus, that inspires us to endure. And that's not just a woolly sort of expectation that everything will be okay in the end. No, this is a solid confidence based in Jesus, who came and lived and died and rose again and will come again. Living in the light leads to action. And it's not about just trying to avoid the darkness, not just kind of trying to sneak through life, not getting dirty. That's not what living in the light is about. It's about our faith working out in action. And it's easy to see some applications today. I wonder if I might borrow your sheet there, Josh, for a moment. It's easy to see an application when we look down the church diary and we see different ways in which our faith might be put into action in this week ahead, maybe at the place of welcome. Musicians come on Wednesday night and they practice and rehearse to bless us on the next worship group service. On Friday, we come and we help to be a part of feeding people at the community cafe. But let me just encourage you for a moment to imagine this list being not the church's diary, but your diary. And those things that you will be doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of this coming week. And just reflect for a moment, how might God be calling you to put your faith into action in your diary this coming week? Thank you, Josh. But finally, living in the light begins with God, leads to action. Finally, it cannot be hidden. Living in the light cannot be hidden. Look at verse 8 of the reading. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. You see, the Thessalonians had the kind of active faith that just was infectious and spread, not only in their local area, but across the known world. People knew about the Thessalonian church. And what did they hear from them? Verse 9 and 10. If you ever want a summary of what Christians believe, verse 9 and 10 of this chapter is a pretty good summary. This is the message that the Thessalonian church was giving out. They tell how you turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You've got repentance, turning from idols to God. You've got serving the living and true God, what we do now, waiting for his Son from heaven, the center of our faith, Jesus, who died and was raised from the dead and will come again. It's a wonderful summary of what we believe, the message that cannot be hidden as we put our faith into action. On the 6th of July, as Mike will be leading us, we're going to meet as a church, our church meeting extra, talking about children and young people in the ministry, the work that we do to shine light into areas of our community that currently we maybe don't shine too brightly in. Because our light cannot be hidden when we're putting our faith into action. But over this past week, Anthony sent me a picture, this picture we've been using for this series. And when I first saw it, I thought, that is wonderful. We can see God's light reflected in the lighthouse, and we are living our lives in the light of that lighthouse that is in front of us. But then over the last few days, I thought, I mean, that's good. We can see it like that. We could also see it differently. We could see it like this, that the lighthouse in this picture is you, is me, is us together, that we are called to shine our light, to shine God's light into the world. And so the lighthouse, the Thessalonian church, was like a lighthouse on a rock. And the storms were battering about it, and the winds a little bit like, I'm pleased the weather has changed. The rain just like this, and the wind around it, that was their witness. Even in hard times, they shone, and their message went forth. Paul says, your message rang out. It could not be hidden. cannot be hidden. What an inspiration for you and for me this morning. This is what we are called to be together as a church. Individually, we have a small impact, but together, this is our light shining. And we're called to do that because our light cannot be hidden. So living in the light begins with God. It leads to action and it cannot be hidden. Let's pray. Lord God, would you challenge us with this message this morning? Would you show us where you're calling us to respond? Lord, where we have forgotten you, where we've forgotten that this all begins with you. I ask you to help us to come back to you, to the beginning of the maze, and put our hand in yours and keep it there. Lord, where our faith has become stale and has not moved into action, where our love has not flowed over to others, where our hope has not inspired us to endure, again, pray that you would do that in our lives today. And where we've tried to hide our light, Lord, would you help us to see that our faith in action cannot be hidden. May we shine for you in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.